live from Wildcat Golf Club for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bring you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel. I'm Jeremy. It is a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live from the occasional Invitational at Wildcat Golf Club. I went out and putted a little bit. It's probably rolling about 14 or 15 on the stimp. It's moving pretty good.
You're Roberto Duran, by the way.
I did not
hands
very well.
Of stone. Oh, my goodness.
That's a compliment, I think.
No.
I think so.
If you're a boxer, yes. If you're a putter, no.
Yeah,
you need the buttery soft palms of a Brad Faxon. Not what I saw out there, Chief.
I need some tips from Freddie C. My guy Freddie C. Now it's rolling fast though. Give me a little bit of credit here. It's rolling really fast out there here at Wildcat.
You had the stimp meter
but a
out.
Beautiful day. I
mean, perfect.
I can tell the stimp just with a look at the grain.
Of course you
so,
can.
Yeah, it's rolling pretty good. But good to be out here. It's good to see a bunch of the golfers that are out here as well. We'll see more of them flowing in through the clubhouse as the day progresses. What do you think the winning score is going to be?
I have no clue.
What's Granado's sandbagging team going to shoot?
There's a couple other teams that have some good players. But, yeah, the Granado Invitational is probably going to have – if his pencil has an eraser, there's a chance that they go 17 under. If his pencil has an eraser, there's a chance someone will go 17 under.
You know somebody's going to sneak in and look at the big board to see the leaderboard before they turn in their card on the way in. You know how these scrambles work.
Let me just tell you this. Let me just tell Miss Jeremy, and I'm not going to say the name, but there's an ex-Rocket player, okay? Notorious in scramble formats in these type events, especially when they are a celebrity guest in the tournament that has zero golf game at all, but has won like three quarters of them because they are a genius with a pencil.
Charles Barkley?
Nope.
Mario Elie?
Charles can play. And by the way, Golf Digest did a new story on him. He finally got stuck with one instructor. And has gotten his swing back, and he's really hitting it well now. And that's why last time we had him on, he was talking mess to me like he was going to finally get back at me. Because let me tell you something. I called him SI for a reason. Not Sports Illustrated. Secondary income. He's going to put my kids through school at some point. But he got right. No, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but whether alcohol had it or they would blame alcohol or not, in every one of the tournaments, I would always ask, what'd so-and-so shoot? Because no matter how much we legitimately shot on the course, I knew that that person, his team, was coming in lower than us.
Clyde the Glide?
No, Clyde can play.
You're not going to tell me who it is, huh?
Off the air, I will.
Chuck Hayes?
No.
Matt Maloney?
The Chuck Wagon? No.
Kelvin Cato?
Matt Maloney can play. Matt's a good friend of mine. Matt plays.
Now, a little disappointed, though, just putting on the putting range. Couldn't get out there and swing it a little bit. I think we would have finished. I think we would have medaled.
Well, you called it a putting range. It's a putting green.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And you said putting range.
Oh, whatever.
And the putting green. The range is open. By the time you got here, everybody was on the course. You could have played.
Yeah, I guess. A good time to be had by all. Thank you to Frankie's Italian Kitchen for bringing by lunch. Orlean Seafood will bringing back some dinner as well. Cutwater Spirits is out here. Michelob Ultra out here as well. So a lot of thanks to be given to make the occasional invitational possible. And maybe occasionally you and I will get on the links and play a little bit as well. So the Houston Texans, David Culley speaking a little bit earlier today. You know that they're working remotely today. A little remote learning for the Houston Texans.
Interesting.
They have a few guys that are not feeling all that well, decided not to come out to Kirby. We're closer to the facilities, I think, than most of these players are.
Wildcat is close to everybody. Everybody just needs to be at Wildcat because it's the perfect location for if you have a golf fix and you have a Texans fix, it's right there.
Pro walk by, you're trying to get a couple free rounds or what? I knew it.
Step
I
up.
I knew it.
Step up.
I
that's not
that
just pro. That's
case.
Ownership.
How about that, though? Remote learning on a Wednesday in the NFL. Like, I mean, this team's not really going anywhere anyway, so I couldn't care less. Like, they're not going to learn a lot from 3 hours of being inside the bubble over at NRG Stadium. But kind of funny that they didn't have practice today. They said it wasn't COVID-related, and everybody should be good to go tomorrow. Tomorrow's a normal day, normal work day. They'll be good to go.
It just, to me, the things that this, again, this is just another thing that draws attention for negative reasons or potentially negative reasons for this team, right? It's one thing if you suck, but yet you stay out of the limelight, right? Because you're embarrassed that you suck, and you just, until you get good, you don't want to do the kind of things that they've been doing, like publicly chastising their maybe one of three known players left on the roster, or doing something like this, or cutting training camp short by 3 weeks because you want to be out of training camp even though your team sucks and you need all the work you can get because you don't like the media around to see the walk of shame every day by your star quarterback you're trying to trade. It's just over and over again the missteps that just drive me nuts with this team.
Would you consider this a misstep, though?
It's potentially. This is one of those where, from the media who has to report, by the way, the Texans did not take the practice field today. They practiced, or they met remotely to have people scratch their temple and go, wait a minute. A team with one of the three worst records in the NFL decided they don't need to practice. That's something that they're not playing the game remotely on a Zoom. So at a certain point, you should probably be on the field.
You know, baseball teams do that every now and then. You're slumping at the plate a little bit instead of showing up for the early BP. You just show and go. Sometimes it can, you know, slump it up. You change it up a little bit. I don't think it's the Mark Grace slump buster, but, you know, the show and go sometimes works out. Now, news item that did come out of the press conference today from David Culley, Justin Reed will play on Sunday. Say that they're moving on from the situation that happened on this past Sunday where he was a healthy scratch, was an inactive. They said that he broke standard of the Houston Texans, that it wasn't just a disagreement between Culley and Reed. So they're moving on. That's good that it doesn't linger, I guess, right?
Yeah, if you want to believe that. Again, their coach speak is going to be out there, but I believe that it's behind them, but it ain't done with. I think from Justin Reed's perspective, the only thing that makes it done with is when he gets the hell out of Dodge, because I believe that he is going to continually remember what they did and how they went about it. And I think it's going to be a major factor in him not being a Texan after this season.
Yeah, the chances of Justin Reed being a Texan to me have been thrown out the window. And the conversation I think is fun to have of, like, should the Texans be interested in bringing him back? I don't believe that they should. He's overrated when you look at the advanced numbers, the Pro Football Focus stuff. He's going to be demanding more money than I believe he's going to be worth in his actual production on the field. And to me, it's maybe not even worth having the conversation because it was a nail in the coffin. The fact that you make him a healthy scratch, he's going to be a free agent in the offseason. I think that the conversation of Justin Reed staying with the Texans after this season is long gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, the big news, too, Danny Amendola, he's going to have a knee surgery. That's the lead story, right, in the city of Houston. Danny Amendola, knee surgery, out for 4 weeks. I mean, if that doesn't scream headline, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I just think, you know, in talking to people that said that he still looks like he's 22, I just talked to some guys.
Who told you he looked like he was 22?
Yeah, that still he looks like he's in great shape and that he could still play. And it's like, well, then he probably should have played a little bit more for this team this year because, you know, we already kind of scratched our temple when he came into this the situation going, do they really need a veteran receiver when they're trying to get younger and trying to do all these different things? And then all he's done is collected a check while collecting injuries. And the first game right out of the chute, he gets a couple catches and then he gets dinged up. He's hurt. Now he's hurt again. So I don't know if they feel good about the fact that maybe they owed him something from the New England days where they wanted to take care of him. But it's just another bad look for this team.
This is where we are as a state of a franchise in the city of Houston with our NFL team, right? You have the Houston Texans that they're not only, like, bad, but they're embarrassingly bad, and you don't like the leadership that they have. 2-9 on the season, of course, through their first 11 games, and doesn't get any easier on Sunday when they welcome the Colts into town, and the Colts are playing very well. But this is the stuff you talk about. You're talking about a team that's remote learning on a Wednesday on a game week before you play a Colts team that's a playoff contender. You're talking about Danny Amendola, who should have never been signed, and they gave him more money than the league minimum when nobody else was going to sign him. He's a topic of conversation. You're wondering how the Texans will move on for the rest of the regular season without Danny Amendola.
They can get Burkhead and Woodhead, and they can both try and fill in the slot. Because between the
– is this the 90s? Like, what are we doing here?
It's just the double laughing stock of the Patriots South that they can't get out from under. And then just when you think they're following the right plan to get younger and younger and try and get better, they do some of these kind of things where you go, why? What? Who? What? It makes no sense.
You know, the other thing, too, and, like, they're not worried about winning in PR. I don't think that they're worried about winning this year. Ultimately, their goal is to win at some point, and they think what they're doing in the first year of building the culture and basically, you know, alienating certain players. Justin Reed, I think they've alienated him. Zach Cunningham, I think they've alienated him. They're willing to sacrifice that for what they think is the long-term benefit of this organization, and maybe it will be. I don't think the city actually believes that or trusts that. But they also don't win, like, the PR moves. Like Danny Amendola, woohoo, his name resurfaces again. You're playing at left tackle, Titus Howard. Whenever you moved him to guard, and you're wondering why he was ever a guard because he wasn't very good in that position to begin with. So that's another kind of a bad PR hit. Like, Justin Britt, they're talking about how they expect him back. Woohoo, big deal, right? Like, they need a win PR-wise that can try to, I guess, get some positive momentum from the fan base, right? Like, you can't think of the last time the Houston Texans have won a PR thing. And, like, I don't even know how they could have done it other than, like, making a big trade at the deadline, right? Like, if it's Brandon Cooks for a second rounder, I think that would excite some people because now you're getting an extra pick.
Yeah.
It would be like, excitement in the future, but at least it
gives
you an idea.
Well, but you have a plan, too.
Exactly,
the plan. You're progressing with a plan. You're sticking to the plan. You're getting people to believe that, hey, it may be painful in the short term by taking all these hits and losses and this bad look, but you know what it means? It means in the future we're going to be better quicker because we're doing things progressively to get better. We're getting more assets, more draft picks, less cap space. I mean, less cap casualties because we've cleared cap space. We're doing all the right things. They're not showing you any of that. They're showing you that they're kind of like, they're good with waddling in less than mediocrity while everybody else passes them by. And then, oh, by the way, just for craps and giggles, off the field, they're doing all kinds of things to draw negative attention to the franchise.
That's been my thing with this, the Texans rebuild the entire time, is that they're failing in the rebuild. I don't care if they're going 2-9. I really don't care if they're signing one-year veterans that are going to be bridges to the future. You know, Titus Howard, I'm not a huge fan of him, you know, being tinkered with, whether it's playing guard or whether it's playing tackle. I just don't think Nick Caserio's done a very good job of rebuilding this team. And look, he didn't have a full deck. He didn't have a first or second round draft pick.
You're talking about the way he thinks, or? He's not playing with a full deck?
I mean, I think he's a sharp guy.
I think he's a smart guy.
But the transactions, whenever you start to look at the actions the words, the actions are concerning to me. The inactivity at the deadline, what you did in the offseason where you're trading late-round draft picks for veterans who are now no longer on this team. Some of them didn't even make it into camp. Some of them didn't make it past the fourth week. And look, Nick Caserio hit on Lopez. Like, he's shown you he can use late-round draft picks to have maybe a piece that's going to help you in the future. Yet you also have three or four different trades where he's given those picks away for dudes that aren't even here anymore.
Well, that's the thing, Jeremy. I think when we're talking about all these things and you think about this, you're like, look, again, from a plan, game plan, and progressive standpoint, you want to believe they're doing things with a game plan and going in the right direction. That would mean that from personnel moves and to the way you're – to the people that you hire to be your general manager, you get guys that know how to do what they're supposed to do on a daily basis. And we're getting more questions than answers with every move that Caserio makes. Like, this guy knows his stuff. He worked under Belichick, right? We got to keep believing that. But then you see some of the trades. You see some of the missteps in the draft, and you go, oh, man, what if – it's one thing to swing and miss on a coach because you don't need the right coach right now.
No, definitely
but if you
not.
Swing and miss on the guy that's solely responsible – for the resurrection and reset button with this football team, you got real issues.
See, I don't even want to break down the X's and O's on a 2-9 football team because they lack talent, right? Like, to me, this is about the general manager, and it's about building a roster, and it's about the process going forward and the plan going forward. And right now, Nick Caserio just doesn't have that. Houston, what's been your disappointment? Year one of Nick Caserio, what are you frustrated with when it comes to the GM? I know there's a lot of frustrations around the Houston Texans, namely Jack Easterby. But what has frustrated you with Caserio in year one? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Pictures of us are on Twitch. The chat room is active, twitch.tv/ESPN975. It is chapstick. My lips were chapped that day. I put on a little chapstick.
So you went with
what
the red-flavored lipstick?
No.
I mean, chapstick?
No, I'm not Katy Perry. I put on a – what is it? I usually carry it in my pocket. My lips haven't been chapped in a while. But, yeah, I mean, you have to moisturize your lips whenever you talk as much as I do.
Yep.
Also on Twitter at PacManJoel, I'm at Jeremy Branham as well. Chapstick, maybe. Definitely not lipstick.
I carry it in my car. I carry the clear man's version of chapstick.
I mean,
or
I'll
Carmex.
Show it to you. Do I need to?
Vanilla also because it's clear. But the strawberry or the cherry version, I hate to break it to you, has a tendency to leave remnants that allows you to be teased about wearing lipstick.
Lockout looming that next. Plus, we'll break down all the chapsticks that are available on the market. It's the
we
Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
We might get a sponsor like that. It's a gamble sometimes you're willing to take. Another gamble you should be willing to take, if you're betting on sports, it's even more fun when you have friends involved, too. We all know you guys like to wager on sports. If you like to wager on sports and you want to get your friends involved, too, you go to MyBookie. You already know it's the best place to place bets. But now, when your friends sign up and play, you get a 250% referral bonus up to $250. All you do is log into your account on MyBookie and click on Refer Your Friends. You'll get a referral link to share with all your buddies via text, email, or social media, and it's unlimited. Invite as many friends as you want. You'll get a referral bonus on each of their first deposits with MyBookie. It's all you got to do is get your friends involved. Get them the information, and MyBookie is the best place to bet on sports. They have lines on all the games, prop bets, and all live in-game betting that keeps things interesting even when the game isn't. Remember to refer your friends. Get up to 250% referral bonus, up to $250 on their first deposit. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, everybody. John Granato here with my friend Mark Klein from Klein's Fine Jewelers. We've been doing this forever. This holiday season, the only place to shop for your jewelry is at Klein's Fine Jewelers. And how about going online at kleinsjewelry.com? You've got great prices, Mark.
Oh, we do. And we have online shopping with free shipping, John. So anything you want in jewelry, whether it's diamond earrings, diamond pendants, diamond bracelets, we also have an online site for loose diamonds. You can punch in what you want, and boom, there's the prices right there. So anything you want in jewelry, give us a call at 832-316-1388. That's 832-316-1388. Check out KleinsJewelry.com. You can buy online, and it'll be shipped to you free.
There are 190,000 diamonds on Mark's website, so the prices are unbelievable. The selection is unbelievable. If you want to shop online or if you want to go to the store, 5868 Westheimer, he is a manufacturer and a retail store. You're going to get the best prices on holiday diamonds this holiday at Klein's Jewelry.
Ryan McCarthy here, founder of the Passive Investor Network. Penn is a full-service real estate investment firm that takes the guesswork, fear, and headache out of the process. If you are thinking about real estate as a way to provide financial security for you and your family, the Penn process can make it happen. Join us for one of our famous bus tours. This is a great way to meet the staff and talk to individuals just like you who have found success through Penn. Connect with us on our website at passiveinvestor.net. That's passiveinvestor.net. Visit us today.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Burt's Bees squeezable. That's the best on the market.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
I've played the field. Squeezable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the very best.
And he's talking about lip balm, folks, not something else that you might be able to deductively reason from
that.
What
else would it be? Tyler Scott.
Y'all are missing a golden opportunity here.
Yeah, I know. Killer Burt's
Bees. Killer Bees.
Absolutely.
Burt's Bees. You need a Burt's
Bees.
Bees.
The regular for the regular just the chapstick regular, version.
The regular
the
was a game changer.
Regular is perfect. It's fine. But then and look, Mr. I'm innocent in this. The fact that you took it to another level by saying that you actually explored pomegranate flavored lip balm.
It may have been strawberry.
On a
I don't
guy.
Know. I was looking for a like you want that little the subtle flavor. That's why. And this is only a
There's
fall
so much
collection.
To say here that I'm not going to say.
Squeezable
vanilla
would change your
maple.
Life.
Vanilla maple is a game changer.
That's because
a little
the,
extra
because,
there, Tyler.
Because it's not a lip changer. Because it's not going to change.
It does. It changes your chapped lips.
But
to
it fixes the lips without making you look like you're.
Well,
what's wrong with
full blown lipsticks?
Yeah, and what's wrong with flavored chapstick?
Squeezable is a game changer.
Flavored's fine as long as it doesn't color your lips. I mean, all the females in the room know exactly what I'm talking about. The fact that if a man is wearing a strawberry or cherry flavored lip balm, you're going to look like you're wearing lipstick, and it's not a good look for a gentleman. I'm just telling you.
I agree with that. I actually do. It should be.
Then why did you do the photo shoot?
I don't know why the lips are red in the photo shoot. It wasn't by design. I have naturally beautiful red lips, I guess. It's just, I mean, I was born with it. What do you want me to do?
Okay. Show at a golf course in which one grown man just said he has naturally beautiful red lips.
So I've been told. I've been told that. So the CBA and Major League
Baseball. Do you think these lips are naturally beautiful?
What do you think? No, I don't have lipstick on. They are actually beautiful. It's not the first person that's told me that in my life. What am I supposed
to
do?
When are you going
to
lie to her and
am
say,
am I supposed to ugly myself up for
you? He doesn't have lipstick on. He has red cherry flavored lip balm on.
All right. Lockout looming in Major League Baseball. The CBA will expire tonight at 11:59 Eastern, 10:59 our time. The lockout in Major League Baseball will be here. And you start to see the two sides and what they're asking for. The reports are going to get leaked. And, like, we're in a day and age where you can't even really, believe reports. I think Lincoln Riley's a perfect example of that, right? Reported to go to LSU. And then all of a sudden he's over at USC. Brian Kelly out of nowhere, next head coach of LSU. Like, usually the reports are planted a lot of times. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. But I don't actually think that the two sides are that far apart. Major League Baseball Player Association, they're asking for a luxury tax of $240 million. Major League Baseball wants $180. It's currently at $210. That, to me, is just like a negotiation tactic. I think at the end of the day, they'll probably meet in the middle and go somewhere around $210, $215.
Right.
Free agency, the Players Association wants the free agents to enter at the age of 29.5 or 5 years of service. Major League Baseball wants 29.5 and not a change, which is currently 6 years of service. Also,
you agree with that,
not
by the
that
way?
Far apart. Which part?
The fact that I think waiting until you're 29.5 is it's offensive if you're a player. I'm surprised the Players Association is so okay with that, because I think that's one of those bargaining chips.
Well, they're not.
You said they're close on that.
Well,
within a year.
Well, they are, because the current system is 29.5 or 6 years of Major League Baseball service. I think Major League Baseball wants that to stay. I don't think they're getting rid of the 6 years of service time. At least that's how I read it. So you look.
But
at
I'm saying, from a player's perspective, they should come in and say, look.
Well, they're asking for 5 years of service.
Well, that's just 1 year different. I think that sometimes with how quickly guys are being rushed to the major leagues these days, and we've seen this, and we knew it was a sticking point with a guy like Springer, when you're holding them back, when you're waiting for that June deadline
service
before you're bringing them up.
The
service
sure.
time has always been an issue. I'm surprised that's not a major, major sticking point.
Well, the fact that Major League Baseball Players Association is only wanting 5 years of service
as
opposed
to
six, again, that's why I think it's a lot closer than people are thinking. Major League Baseball Players Association, they also want they want players to go to arbitration after 2 years instead of the current 3 years. So, again, just a one-year difference. And then the PA is asking for a 12-team playoff. Major League Baseball is asking for, what was it, a 14-team playoff. And the PA is asking for the league to be split into two divisions instead of the current three divisions in each league. I don't believe that they're that far off on this. Like, they're going to do the posturing, they're going to do the lockout, they're going to play the hardball at the negotiation table, that sort of thing. But when I look at what the Major League Baseball is asking for and what the Players Association is asking for, I actually think they're really close.
I hope that's the case, because it seems like there's no sense of urgency right now pushing anybody to get anything done, and especially with the amount of free agents that were signed prior to us getting close to this deadline, you realize that nothing really looked like it was anything that was going to force them to get a deal done sooner rather than later, and until, as we talked about yesterday, you start missing or thinking about getting close to missing real games that really matter, and that starts affecting the pocketbooks of the owners, that there wasn't anything that says a deal was going to be done even before spring training was supposed to start. But if they're this close on some of these major issues, then they should spend more than 30 minutes in a room like they did yesterday. They're meeting again today, but the early outlook is that they're not going to spend a whole lot more than another half hour, hour or two, to at least look like they were trying to get through it. And that, to me, is a bit surprising if they are as close as you say they are.
They're roughly 75 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, and I look at the differences from what is at least being reported. I feel like they're a lot closer than what a lot of people are making on. The biggest gap there is the luxury tax threshold, which is currently at 210. The Players Association saying, give me 240. Major League Baseball saying 180. I think at the end of the day, they probably meet roughly around the middle and stick around at 210. Maybe they go up to like 215, something like that. The bigger thing, and the only thing that would bother me as a fan of baseball, is this expanded playoff. And you have the Players Association that wants 12 teams, which is total. You'd have six teams in each league. And then you have Major League Baseball that wants seven teams in each league. I don't like an expanded playoff. I don't want 162 games to be meaningless. I like the way it is right now, where you're awarding the division winners. You don't have to play in the wild card game, which one game could end your season after 162. I still like it. And maybe this is me being old school and me being a baseball purist, but I like the playoffs where they're at
currently.
Did
you see, by the way, did they change the playoff format if they expand the amount of teams, in terms of, is there still going to be a one-game wild card as opposed to some series? Because that's the thing that's always bothered me the most. And I'm with you. I don't want to be get off my lawn guy. But just like when the NBA decided that they were going to contemplate getting rid of all the divisions and just playing with the best records in the league. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you've had it this way for this long, and it's done a ton in terms of your history, your record books. Winning a division means something. Regular season games mean something. And it waters the entire process down. If it ain't broke to this point, why try and fix it like this? I get it. You get more cities that have teams that are on the cusp of getting in, so there's more excitement. The NBA's play-in tournament turned out to be that way. The wild card in baseball this year turned out to be that way. But you water it down too much. Like we're talking about with college football, too. You can go too far, too. And I think that 12 and 14 teams might be too far.
Well, I love 12 for college football.
I'm not talking about college football. As we're looking up for baseball, winning the division means something. I would focus more on the wild card being more than a one-and-done scenario, because teams have worked all 162 to get there and have a chance. But that's just me. I just think that you got to be careful in terms of the big picture of what you're trying to do and what the outcome might be in terms of, yeah, some other cities like Colorado might be really fired up for the month of September. But guess what? At the end of the day, if it becomes so watered down that so does your regular season and it doesn't matter as much, that's a big problem.
Yeah, how are you going to get the fans to buy into 162 whenever about half of the teams would make the playoffs in your league? If you go to seven teams in each league making the playoffs, three division winners, four wild cards, now you're looking at a spot where seven of the 15 teams are in. Why play the 162?
And here's the thing. You got a problem right now when LeBron is supposed to play the one time in your city on the road and he's resting because of whatever they call their excuses. You don't think baseball's going to start doing the same thing? The minute any little thing comes up and you know your number one starter doesn't have to pitch, well, we're going to rest him for a couple of weeks. We don't need him till the playoffs.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you do
right?
that? You'd be stupid not to, right? It's all about building a roster for the postseason. Like, I'm an advocate for the Astros doing that right now because I think they're going to run away with the AL West. Like, I advocate for the Astros to build a playoff team right now in free agency with the playoffs in mind. And I think that they should handle the regular season that way too, where you know, you have an element from Jose Urquidy. Yeah, put him on the IL. Make sure he's healthy for the postseason. All of a sudden, you put seven teams in the playoffs out of a 15-team league. That's way too much. I think it's a hard sell to the fans as well that are trying to buy tickets for the 162. And we all know ticket prices aren't getting much cheaper.
Nope.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we return, college football rankings released yesterday. How about Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame? How does that impact those rankings? That's next, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about new brakes. Look, I believe in them because they did my brakes while I was doing a show at the station. It was less than 40 minutes. It was a job well done. They use top-notch products. They have only skilled technicians that do nothing but brakes, and they come to you to do what they do. That's the major key here. Time is money. They're going to save you a bunch because they're going to come to you, to your job, to your house, wherever you need the brakes done. They're going to do them while you're doing other things. You're multitasking. It's the same reason why you don't spend an hour in the grocery store if you get them delivered curbside, or you have them delivered to the house, because it saves you time. You can be cutting the lawn or watching a game or drinking a beer. They're fixing your brakes. We're doing a radio show. They're fixing my brakes. They can fix your brakes too. And if you mention ESPN 97.5 right now, you're going to save 10%. More so than that, you're going to save time, which saves you money. Check them out, nubrakes.com. That's newbrakes.com.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Broadcasting live from Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational. Thanks to everybody involved. Thanks for the fine food from Frankie's Italian Kitchen, Orlean Seafood Kitchen a little bit later, too. I love myself some seafood. Cutwater Spirits, Michelob Ultra, all taken apart. I want to give thanks to them and Wildcat Golf Course, of course, for hosting us out here and setting us up nicely with all these TVs around us. Very nice. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jason, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'd like to talk to y'all about some UFC and the Astros and Texans. I just want to get y'all the who do y'all have the next week pay per view? Do we have you got Poirier or Charles Oliveira, or do you have the GOAT Amanda Nunes versus I can't remember her last name's Pena. Who do y'all got on that fight?
Juliana
on those
Pena.
Fights?
And, don't ever mess with Nunez. Don't ever mess with Amanda Nunez.
She's
proves that she can compete, she's got it.
Yeah, you're right. Don't mess with her, but hey, everybody has to come to an end, you know what I'm saying? Except if your name's John Bones Jones or Khabib Nurmagomedov. Khabib, whatever.
All right, turn the page.
And, the Astros and the Texans. I want to ask if the MLB and the NFL both like had a complete wash of white. It'll never happen, but I'm just having a fun question with y'all. Who would be y'all's number one pick if the Astros were the number one pick and the Texans were the number one pick with a clean slate, nobody's on the rosters? Who would y'all go for? Thank y'all. Have a great day.
Okay, so let me summarize that.
Appreciate
for you,
the
Jeremy.
Call, Jason.
Jason, we appreciate you. If you were to start a team today in an expansion franchise where everybody was available,
yep,
who would your number one pick be in football and in baseball?
Yeah, I picked up on that.
Okay, I'm just doing it for the caller's perspective. I mean, for the listener's perspective, too. It was a little bit long-winded.
Man, there's two that come to mind for me in baseball.
Okay.
One's Wander Franco.
Okay.
The other one's Shohei Ohtani. Because I got a middle of the order of the bat and a middle of the rotation starting pitcher like that. But he's a little bit older, and if I'm looking for like long term, probably go Franco. What about you?
I was going to say one of two guys. You had one of them. I think Franco is one of them because he's already shown in short time that he is a stud. But then the other one to me is Fernando Tatis Jr., just because of the fact that he brings the marketing aspect that baseball's so desperate for, too. If you're starting up a franchise, you got a guy that off the field people are drawn to. They watch him. They like the demonstrative stuff on the field. They like the hair and the sunglasses and the way he goes about his business. Look, we've said forever and a day, baseball can't even market their best players, and there's a ton of people out there that don't know what Mike Trout looks like, and he doesn't wear a face mask and play football where, you know, his face is covered a portion of the time. So I think that I would go one of two ways. I would go either Franco or I would go Fernando Tatis Jr.
Football Mahomes, and it's a no-brainer for me.
Is that simply based on age?
Yeah, I mean, I would consider him one of the top two to three quarterbacks in the NFL right now, if not the very best. And then, yes, age comes into play if you're talking about an NBA or NFL restart draft. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue no matter what kind of up and down season he's had this year with him. Okay, let's take Mahomes out of the question.
Well, that's not fair.
For the sake of discussion, because that's what we do. If you can't take Patrick Mahomes.
Titus Howard.
Well, that's because you're a dumbass.
Charlie Heck.
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert's not bad. That's tough for me because I think you have Josh Allen in that conversation. Kyler Murray could be in that conversation too. The thing that concerns me about Kyler Murray is the injuries and the fact that he is a small man.
Smaller, and he runs, he takes hits. I think from the standpoint of having all the tools and having a guy that's come in right away and proven that the league's not too big for him. Like, he gets it. I think that if you can't take Mahomes, that's where I'd go.
Oliveira is my pick to win the fight against Poirier. He doesn't have the cachet or the popularity, but to me he's a better fighter than Nunez. You're right. She is probably the best woman fighter of all time.
Yeah, she's not the farce that what's-her-name was until she went to wrestling.
Yeah, Nunez ruined Ronda Rousey, to be honest with you. College football rankings came out yesterday. Yep. Georgia's still at the top. Michigan moves up three spots all the way to number two. They jump Alabama, who's at number three. Cincinnati's at four. Oklahoma State knocking on the door. They're number five. Notre Dame stays where they're at six. Ohio State drops five spots to number seven. Ole Miss jumping Baylor to number eight. Baylor's now at nine, and then Oregon is at number 10. So you look at the rankings there, that's what it looks like. You have a lot of games that could certainly influence what's going to happen this week. What I found the most interesting, though, from Gary Barta, who, by the way, is the Iowa Athletic Director, serving as well as the committee chair for the College Football Playoff Committee, one of the more interesting things to me was the discussion about the departure of Brian Kelly and what it could mean to Notre Dame's ranking.
You make a good point, Reese, that the committee obviously is aware of all the coaching changes while we were going through the rankings. This week, it didn't apply because the games had occurred, and we evaluated based on those games. Once the championship games wrap up, to your point, our protocol does include the ability for the committee to consider a player or a coach not being available. And should that have an effect on the outcome of a game, that can be considered. At this point, we'll have to wait and see how that factors in. But it is one of the criteria that's now added to strength of schedule, to head-on-head competition and winning championships, etc.
I hate the college football committee. I hate the in-game of college football every single season.
How do you feel about head-on-head competition?
I mean, it's football.
Jeez. Wear your helmet.
It's a violent sport. The fact that a coach spurning one school to go to another school that could be somewhat involved in the playoff conversation, that it could affect their ranking is perhaps, and look, I should accept this because it is college football. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. How could you do that for
it's
the
college
dudes
football,
on the team?
It's the NCAA. It's everything that's wrong with sports done the wrong way because they don't follow past precedent. They do whatever they feel. It's everything is a knee jerk. And the fact that you hear all this, look, we had the discussion yesterday, and I understand, but I don't agree with the people that think, oh, the kids got screwed, or the coach screwed the kids, and the kids, when they leave early, screw the coach. Look, it's a business. That's the thing that's the harsh reality. It used to be you were still in school when you were playing at a college and playing for your school. And you played 4 years. You did those kind of things. You don't do it anymore. It's all big business. And in the land of big business, this stinks. Because I'm not going to sit there and tell you that either side should bitch about the fact that if the coach leaves or if they go to, they go pro early. But I will say that if they are going to be punished, and we always say we want to know the criteria, if we know the criteria and the criteria of having a great roster, doing everything you can do in a season, having one hell of a good regular season, and you could be affected because your coach skips town, that's some BS.
It also probably wouldn't even come into play. Like, it's a long shot that Notre Dame would even make the college football playoff and make one of the four teams. Like, you have to hope that Baylor beats Oklahoma State, and then Baylor could potentially jump you as well because now they're a Big 12 champion. They do have two losses, the bad loss to TCU. But Notre Dame doesn't have a top 25 win. You also have to root for a loss of either one of Cincinnati, Alabama, or Michigan. That's if Baylor doesn't jump you. So, to me, it's also just stupidity from Gary Bartow. Like, it's one thing to maybe have that conversation behind closed doors, yeah, but to then talk behind publicly a public microphone and actually
live
say that whenever it might not even come into play, just flat out stupid on Gary Barta's point.
And this, as I do my analogies for you, this is the analogy between analytics versus the eye test and no meeting in the middle when you're in a professional sports franchise, right? We used to do it all by computers, and it was nothing but numbers and strength of schedule and you know, game margin of victories and all these other things. Now, we're taking all these yahoos and putting them in a hotel suite,
yeah,
and telling them to figure it out, and they give us just all the food in the world for fodder because of the fact that every week they give us something like this. Like, they're keeping your Cougars down week after week after week. Why? Because they want to keep Cincinnati out. And they realize that as long as they keep the Cougars out of the picture, then it's going to be tougher to say at the end of the year they beat a ranked team that gets them where they need to go. The same reason why they kept Wisconsin in for all those weeks, and because it's his school too, Iowa ends up beating Wisconsin. And now almost all of a sudden, Wisconsin's completely out of the top 25. Because it's all the way they want it to play out. We've gone from one extreme to the other, and until they meet in the middle and get this thing right, it's just going to annoy me from week to week.
One of the interesting things when you look at Championship Saturday is the SEC title game, right? Because you have top-ranked Georgia, third-ranked Alabama. Right now, if the playoffs were to start today, Georgia the 1 versus Cincinnati the 4, Michigan the 2 versus Alabama the 3. We had Kevin DeGonde on yesterday, who is the studio guy for ABC College Football Saturday, one of the very best in the business. He thinks Alabama is out with a loss.
And then the Oklahoma State factor comes into this conversation, guys. I mean, you cannot make an argument for Notre Dame to come in right now if Cincinnati handles their business. So if Oklahoma State hypothetically wins by 7 to 10 points, they're in. They win the conference. So Alabama's out of the conversation, and then Oklahoma State's in it.
I'm of the thought that Alabama is out with a loss. Unless it's like an overtime game-winning thriller, I feel like Alabama is out with a loss, especially considering, like, if they lose and Cincinnati wins, you can't put Alabama third. So now they'd be in fourth, and now you're looking at an immediate rematch with a two-loss team that would be on the bubble. I completely think Alabama would be out with any sort of loss whatsoever. There's some that think that a two-loss Alabama, they lose close to Georgia, that they're still one of the best four.
No, I think if they lose, they're out too, and I think the other reason that you didn't even bring up and you had enough to justify it was the fact that they should have lost to Auburn. If the kid stays in bounds and falls down on his butt cheek, we're not even having this discussion because they're already out. And that's what if we're going to do it by committee, by just the eye test, and by the way that they're doing it with their personal opinions highly involved in the process of them analyzing rosters and who looked like a more playoff-ready team than another one, then this is going to factor in too. And if this factors in, then from my eye test, Alabama already probably should be out because they should have lost to Auburn. So if they lose again, regardless of anything else, they deserve to be out. I don't care how close the game is. And Georgia, because they haven't lost all year, has earned the right, because everybody else has at least one loss, to say even if we lose to Alabama, we still should be in.
Unless it's just an absolute blowout.
Right.
Even at that point, I think that they're still in. I think Georgia and Alabama, the only way they both make it is if Alabama wins. And in hindsight, looking back at that Auburn game, I'm not sure that game mattered for Alabama. Like, the fact that they won the game, they're still in third, they lose this week to Georgia, they're probably out. If they lose to Auburn last week, but then they beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, they're probably back in.
Maybe.
So I'm not sure that game had a whole lot of bearing on Alabama's chances of the college football semifinal. One more from Iowa AD / committee chair Gary Barta on why Cincinnati's at number 4.
We talked about him, as compared to, say, Alabama, who ended up one ahead of them. Alabama had some wins against teams that the committee looked at that and decided that they were ahead of Cincinnati. On the other side of that, it was talked about with Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State now has wins against Baylor and against Oklahoma, another rivalry game. The committee was impressed with that. So it's really hard. There was a lot of discussion about it. It's hard to put a proximity closeness between 3, 4, and 5.
That audio production there by ESPN, top notch, huh? How about I don't like
you
the fact
see
that
the graphics.
I don't like the fact that Gary Barta went to the Oklahoma State right behind Cincinnati. Like, to me, and look, I'm kind of a pessimist. I consider myself a realist. People would say I'm a pessimist. I don't love the fact that he immediately goes, well, Oklahoma State right there behind Cincinnati, like kind of almost drawing the innuendo
like
that if Cincinnati
maybe
wins by like a field goal over Houston on Saturday and Oklahoma State's impressive, we're willing to jump Oklahoma State over Cincinnati. I don't love that from Gary Barta.
No, I don't either. And, again, it's just another factor in why I don't like the system, and I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's right, and I don't think that you should penalize Cincinnati just like, you know, look, I understand, and I think that Oklahoma State's done everything they could possibly do, and they continue to do, to where they should be in the conversation. But the fact that you're going to penalize Notre Dame because their coach left, the fact that you're going to try and crap on Cincinnati because they just don't seem to have that big-time cachet as all the other schools that you're talking about, that shouldn't factor in at all. They play, y'all play your schedule, and you play it the way you're supposed to play it. And if you win out and do all the things you're supposed to do, nothing else should matter, and they should be in if they do what they're supposed to do. If your Cougs come by and your Cougs do what they think they can do, and if they eliminate Cincinnati by beating them, so be it. Then that's one less game that you have to see because they didn't do what they needed to do. But if they take care of their business, they should be in this year.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we come back, is there momentum gaining that Taysom Hill could start tomorrow night for the Saints? That will go around the NFL next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, if you want to bet on that game or if you want to bet on any game right now, you can benefit by betting on sports at mybookie.ag. And it's even more fun when you get your friends involved, and you can do that too. Now, if you've already signed up for MyBookie, you can invite your friends to play and get a 250% referral bonus up to $250. All you do is log into your account on mybookie.ag. Refer your friends is what you're going to click on next, and you're going to get a referral link to share with your friends via text, email, or social media the fact that you want them to get involved and play on MyBookie like you do. If they do, you cash in too. It's unlimited. Invite as many friends as you want, and you get a referral bonus on each of their first deposits with MyBookie. So what they put in, you get out in certain ways, and you can benefit too. MyBookie, the best place to bet on sports. They have lines on all the games, props on most of the games, live in-game betting to keep even the most uninteresting game more interesting to you. And remember right now, refer your friends, get a 250% referral bonus up to $250 on that first deposit that they make. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, but make sure you do it in only one place, MyBookie.
Live from Wildcat Golf Club for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Tonight, Glenn Davis will be on with Soccer Matters. Lots of things to discuss. Lead CEO comparing fans' proposal to some sort of scandal. How about the courage of the NWSL hiring Nahas after the Riley scandal? Dynamo looking for a new manager as well. They're looking for.
Did you apply?
A new gaffer.
I mean, with the way people are hiring for our sports teams in town lately, you know what? You one-time play-by-play voice of the Dynamo, you may qualify to be the next manager
of the
Dynamo.
From the booth to the pitch?
I mean, if you go from diamond. Legal counsel to general manager of the Rockets, if you can go from team chaplain to vice president of football for the Texans, you could go from Dynamo play-by-play announcer to manager of the entire squad.
Man, I don't know if I'd want that job. It's not been a very
successful
job.
The shorts are uncomfortable. Don't you have to wear the snugglies?
I don't know. Okay. I think you can kind of either suit. Like, it's weird. Soccer managers, they'll wear suits or they'll wear, like, just the jumpsuits. Like, it doesn't seem like there's any dress code whatsoever.
Yoga pants?
Sure. I don't know if I've seen
some
that.
Some coaches wear those
barely
tapered yoga pants.
All right. I think you're looking a little too closely at things, but all right.
This from a guy that wears red chapstick. Okay.
We've established that not to be true. Thursday night football, Cowboys-Saints. I've been calling for the Saints to make a change at quarterback for a very long time. Sean Payton possibly alluding to that?
It happened to Tennessee, and he's gradually gotten better each week. You know, it takes a minute, and you know, last week when that topic was brought up, you know, I just knew it wouldn't be right to put him back there in the shape his foot was in at that time. It's gotten better. I'm going to see how tomorrow goes. We got a lot of time before we play. So we'll kind of go from there.
So Sean Payton saying the reason that Taysom Hill's not been an option at the quarterback spot is because of a foot injury that he's had for a few weeks now. But he's saying if the foot's getting better, the Saints might make a change at quarterback. It's a change that they need to make. They need to change that offense. Yeah. Look, they're still sticking around. They're 5-6. The football team currently has the tiebreaker over them. They're actually the playoff team right now, the final wild card spot in the NFC. The Saints can still salvage their season. Look, I'm not saying they're going to win the NFC. They can still make the playoffs. But not with Trevor Siemian at quarterback. No. It must be Taysom Hill.
Look, I was all about giving Siemian the chance because he had started in the NFL on a consistent basis and shown some things. And in his first week with the Saints, he looked decent. What he's shown you since showed you everything that you needed to see. And now it's time to try something else because you are grasping at straws at this point. You're dangling by a thread, but you're in right now. So you got to figure it out quickly. And if this is your best option, and it probably is as long as he's healthy and he's got his head on straight, literally, and everything's back to speed, I think it's the only way to go if you're the Saints because it's the only chance you have left to salvage the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Taysom Hill's not a starting quarterback in this league. Like,
no.
In no way am I saying that he's the next quarterback for the Saints in the future. But in terms of this final little stretch drive that they have, he is a better option for that team than Trevor Siemian, largely because the defense is pretty good. Alvin Kamara is a good option at tailback. You change the way that offense looks where you're running it 35, 40 times a game. Maybe you're only throwing it 10 times, but you're not screwing your defense. You're giving them a chance. I think the Saints can still make the playoffs if they go that route.
There's no doubt about it. And we've said all season long, the one consistent that you actually do know of is the fact that the Saints can play defense when healthy. Their front seven does a lot of destruction, both in the backfield and the way they cover out of the backfield. The fact that, like you said, they have good defensive backs. Lattimore is unbelievable when he's on his game. And you just have to dummy down the offense because I'm not saying Taysom Hill doesn't have a place in the NFL. To me, it's the same thing, and that's why I said Jalen Hurts could be the next Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. Because athletically and physically, they are capable of being long-term NFL players. But at the starting quarterback position in the NFL, no, neither one of them. But because you're the Saints, and because with all the things you've had go wrong this season, starting with Jameis going down, you still have a chance to salvage this if you do it right. Throwing anybody other than Taysom Hill out there at quarterback right now is not doing it right.
Saints have lost four in a row. They went from 5-2 to 5-6, and the NFC is wide open. You have four teams we mentioned tied for that final wild card spot. The 49ers, by the way, they've won three straight. Now they have a game cushion on that seventh spot. Washington, Minnesota, Atlanta, and New Orleans. How are those four teams even in the conversation of being playoff worthy?
But I don't know, but at the same time, when you rattle those names off and then the one that that we just talked about dangling by a thread, if you're the top two teams in the NFC, the last possible thing that you want to face is you had a great regular season and you got to play the Niners with a Shanahan offense if they get healthy.
And they're looking hot. I mean, they're hot.
Or the Saints if they have Alvin Kamara and they have their defense healthy, because anything can happen in a one-game scenario. And that's the last thing you want if you're a top-two seed in the NFC.
Minnesota could be a little scary, too, at 5-6, just because
Kirk Dalvin Cook's shoulder, and he's got stuff off the field going on that could be suspension-worthy. So there's a lot of things there where you're like, and it's still Kirk Cousins at quarterback, by the way.
He's played good. He's played good this year.
And Justin Jefferson is now stomping his feet and you know, shaking his rattle and acting like a little prima donna baby like most big receivers do. I'd be, if I'm the top of the NFC, the last thing I want to do, I'd be worried about two teams. The Saints, I'd be worried about the Niners if they're healthy.
The NFC playoff race is hilarious. The Eagles and the Panthers are only a half game back. Both of those teams are terrible. The Giants and the Bears are only a game back, and both of those two teams are terrible. A lot of college jobs have been open lately. You know, you have Brian Kelly going to LSU. Lincoln Riley is going to USC, leaving OU. Notre Dame's open as well. So, obviously, Urban Meyer is always going to be a hot name in the college football circles because he's one of the best college football coaches that we've seen in the last couple of decades. Not having a whole lot of success at Jacksonville, he denies any interest in a college football job at this time. I don't trust anything that comes out of coaches' mouths, at least behind a public microphone, because they're usually lying behind public microphones. I'll trust him a little bit behind scenes, but not on a public microphone. But I actually believe Urban Meyer in this situation. I believe he wants to give it. I believe he wants to give the NFL a fair shot. He doesn't want to be one and done. I think it's something that he feels would stain his career. He's a little bit. I mean, he's egotistical. We know that. He has a lot of pride. He still has a lot of support from the Khan family to be the head coach there in Jacksonville. I believe that someday Urban Meyer will go back into the college game. It's not this year.
I think he's a Khan man to the Khan family, and I think that if he didn't have the contract that he has, with all the money that he's been given, he'd be jumping on the next plane to South Bend or any place that would take him to give him remotely the same amount of money with a lot more control. Because the harsh reality is, in his first year, and I told you this all season, it was coming, and I didn't believe in him, and I thought he was going to fail miserably. It's because he can't be a dictator in the NFL game. It's because guys in his own locker room make more money than he does, have more pull, and basically can say and do a lot more to get things done than he can. And then he hired the wrong guys, and he went about even the hiring process the wrong way, hiring the strength coach from the Big Ten that had all kinds of blemishes and red flags and still did it, then had to get rid of him. And doing all the different things that he did, he can get away and bury and sweep things under the rug so much easier in college football. If there was any way possible that he could get a clean break right now, he'd be in college football and he would be in Notre Dame tonight.
You think Notre Dame would call Urban Meyer, look, just to kick the tires? Even if Urban Meyer is saying no at the end of the day, and we're on two different sides of this, you feel like Urban would go if he gets the offer?
Yep.
I feel like he wouldn't go at this point if he gets the offer because he wants to give the NFL a fair shake, and he hadn't had a fair shake of it just yet. If you're Jack Swarbrick, you're the AD at Notre Dame. Urban Meyer has, you know, been one of the best college football coaches in the last couple of decades. Are you making that phone call, at least to his agent, to see if he's interested?
I think you got to save face because I think that Notre Dame, they've returned to greatness, right? It hasn't gotten completely over the mountaintop and won a national championship, but they've been in the playoff a couple of times. Brian Kelly did almost everything that they had hoped he could do in his 12 years there. But now Brian Kelly's exit, even though the AD kind of hinted that it was, he could subliminally had messages delivered from Kelly that thought that it might be on the horizon. Well, I don't think anybody could have predicted it would happen this abruptly, this way, this fast, going that direction. So they're left holding the bag going, what do we do now? And with a lot of these top coaches that were rumored to be circulating, landing in different spots, you don't want to be looking for that non-sexy name, you know, up-and-coming coordinator guy that's going to hurt you with recruiting, that's going to take down the brand of Notre Dame. They got their own TV deal with NBC. They've got so much going for them that no matter what you hear and say, this is also a wake-up call for the university that says, yeah, I could still save face. I could get an Urban Meyer. That would be a big deal. But the first thing he's going to tell you is the last thing Brian Kelly told you on the way out the door, and that is if you don't upgrade the facilities, if you don't stay keeping up with the Joneses, with everybody else in college football, no matter the – you can to your blue in the face say, I'm Notre Dame, you ain't getting the kind of football team that Brian Kelly got you for 12 years.
No, I think that Notre Dame is in the spot where they would be willing to upgrade the facilities. Coming up next, Major League Baseball continuing its corruption. But first, a minute on Pro Dunk Hoops. It's the best basketball goal on the planet. The tempered glass backboard gives you the true, authentic feel. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. You want to dunk it? Lower those babies. You want to raise it up to regulation? If your kid's working on the game, working on a shot, you can do all that anywhere in between, too. Got the competition-grade breakaway rim, perfect for dunking and hanging, keeps you safe. An extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim. No sprained ankles on a basketball stanchion. Durability of strength, the Pro Dunk Hoops with their stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and their exclusive rust armor, making them sturdy and strong. And the best feature, they'll install the goal. You don't have to do a darn thing. The pros at Pro Dunk Hoops professionally install your goal, perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk Hoops do all of the work for you. Pro Dunk Hoops come in a variety of sizes and options. It'll be a perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call, 281-351-9822, and visit produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com.